So I absolutely love Christmas time. So for me, this time of Advent, this time of waiting for Christmas, it is by far my favorite time of the year. My Christmas decorations are all out at my house. My birthday is in early December, and we always have so many fun activities planned for this time of year. Here is a photo of me and my son actually smiling for a photo in front of the Christmas tree at SeaWorld, where we had lots of fun. But as much as I love this time of year, I have to be honest, and I have to admit that it can be so easy to get caught up in the whirlwind of the season, to become obsessed with what gadget, what present, what activity I need to buy in order to make this the perfect Christmas. And I feel like this temptation is especially strong this year, as we're in a much better place with the pandemic, and don't we all hope it stays that way? But because of that, we can feel like we have to go twice as hard and spend twice as much and do twice as many things because we are making up for lost time. We expect the miracle of Christmas to come in the gifts that we buy, in the activities that we plan, the cookies we bake, and the dinners we make. But let's be honest, all of that stuff can be exhausting. It's not the way that we were created to be, and we know it's not the way we are wired. In fact, when I was reflecting on it, I noticed that many of my favorite Christmas movies are pointing at this too. They resolve not because of something bought or perfection achieved, but because of learning to experience love and joy and generosity. I saw this a lot in one of my favorite movies, Christmas with the Cranks. So if you're familiar with this movie, you know that this couple decides to skip Christmas and go on a cruise instead because their daughter is away serving at the Peace Corps. And so for the Cranks, this skipping Christmas was a pure financial decision. Luther Crank, the husband, crunched the numbers and saw that they could go on this luxurious cruise instead of Christmas and save a ton of money. But as the movie goes on, the daughter unexpectedly is able to come home for Christmas, so they have to divert and have Christmas with her anyway. And so my favorite part of the movie comes when Mr. Luther Crank has to gift this beloved luxury cruise he's already paid for and has been obsessing over the whole movie. He can't go, so he has to gift it to his grumpy neighbor and his wife, who has terminal cancer. So this turns him from this Grinch who was obsessed with saving money and going on this luxury cruise for himself into someone who lives into the generosity and miracle of love. But we don't necessarily have to gift a fancy luxury cruise in order to experience the miracle of Christmas. We can't expect to find the miracle of the Christmas season in the whirlwind of consumerism, but we can find the miracle of Christmas in the birth of the Christ child. We can find it in the fact that God humbled himself into this tiny baby and was born in a stable just to be with us. But the question we all have to ask is how? How can we live into this kind of life? How can we accept this invitation to step outside of the whirlwind of consumerism? How, in the lightning speed of our life this time of year, can we find time to rest in the miracle of Christ? Well, let's start by diving into our scripture passage for this morning. I'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7, out of the Common English Bible version. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in a pitch dark land, light has dawned. You have made the nation great. You have increased its joy. They rejoiced before you as with joy at the harvest, as those who divide the plunder rejoice, As on the day of Midian, you've shattered the yoke that burdened them, the staff on their shoulders, and the rod of their oppressor. Because every boot of the thundering wars and every garment rolled in blood will be burned, fuel for the fire. A child is born to us. A son is given to us, and authority will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be vast authority and endless peace for David's throne and for his kingdom, establishing it and sustaining it with justice and righteousness, now and forever. The zeal of the Lord of the heavenly forces will do this. I love this morning's scripture passage because it is so rich, it is so deep, and it is so true. That first line, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Well, we understand what it means to be walking in darkness. We remember the pain of a Thanksgiving and a Christmas heavily affected by COVID-19 last year. And we remember that pain of the post-holiday surge and what the Delta variant did to us. We know the pain of national tragedies, of a divisive culture, and of horrendous poverty both in our own backyard and abroad. We know what it's like to walk in the darkness of being wrapped up in consumerism, in busyness, and in keeping up with the Joneses. But in these verses, Isaiah was talking to the nation of Israel as they were in exile. And he was speaking to them at a particularly low point in this time of exile. It was a time when the people didn't feel like they had any hope. It was a time when the people were not sure if they ever would have deliverance. It was a time where the people thought peace, real peace, is something that they would never really experience again. These folks were feeling very, very burdened by their new rulers. They were utterly oppressed by the nation that was over them. This nation were the thundering boots that were holding them down, that were oppressing them, and were holding them back from the way that life was supposed to be. But out of all that darkness, Isaiah said there would come a great light. That the burden of the oppressor would be gone, that these thundering boots would be defeated, that there would be peace and there would be justice and there would be righteousness and all would be well. So this is one of those passages in the Old Testament that has a dual meaning. On one hand, Isaiah is giving his hearers the hope that the exile would end, that the oppression would end, and that the nation of Israel would have better days ahead. And all of that was true. The exile ended, the Israelites got to go back home, and they rebuilt their city and their temple. But Isaiah was not just talking about that. He was also talking about the Messiah. He was talking about someone who would do more than just end the exile. Someone who would bring hope and peace and justice on a much larger scale. Who would have vast authority and bring justice and righteousness now and forever. And that would come because, for unto us, a child is born. Jesus Christ is born. But we have to remember that Jesus Christ did not just come as a cute baby to make us feel good. So in the book we're using for this sermon series, Christmas is Not Your Birthday, Mike Slaughter warns us about this kind of perspective. That we can't just put our hope in a Santa Claus Jesus that brings us what we want. More stuff. A perfect family for the holidays. World peace and an end to poverty all at no cost to us. That's not the way it works. In these scriptures, Isaiah is talking about leaving the oppressive authority of their conquerors, but that did not mean they got to do whatever they wanted after. Isaiah reminded them that God would have vast authority, that they would need to have this renewed commitment of following God in order to receive this justice and peace and righteousness that was promised. As much as they all would have loved it, all this good stuff does not come for free. And the same goes for us today. Jesus Christ did not just bring us the miracle of Christmas so we can get what we want. Not so we can live in this hamster wheel of busyness and consumerism without any real substance. Not so we can go into stress and go into debt every December. Not so we can live lives so isolated from everyone else, focusing only on ourselves like Luther Crank. All that is not the true miracle of Christmas. The true miracle of Christmas is living into the life that we were truly, really designed to live. Living into the people that God created us to be. The true miracle of Christmas comes in following the life that Christ taught us to live and creating that peace, that justice, and righteousness that we have been promised. The true miracle of Christmas comes when a grumpy Luther Crank, who had been so focused on himself, learns the power and the miracle of love and generosity. All of this is the true miracle of Christmas. And so you may be wondering, how do we practically live this out? How do we take this season and live into the miracle of Jesus Christ? Well, the good news is you don't have to throw out your Christmas tree. You can still get gifts for your kids and your loved ones. You don't have to cancel the family gatherings. That's not what we're talking about. But this sermon series, this time of Advent, it's an invitation to remember that all of those things, while they are good and we enjoy them, they are not the main point of the holiday season. The main point of this season is to anticipate the birth of Christ and remember the amazing miracle and how that birth changed the world. The main point of Advent is to hear and to call and to respond to that call to live by the example that the Christ child set for us. The main point of Christmas is to remember that we don't serve the oppressors of Babylon or the oppressors of consumerism. We serve Jesus Christ. And to serve Jesus Christ, we must live into that way that Christ taught us to live. To serve Christ, we must work for those things that Christ is working for peace, for justice, and for righteousness. And so maybe this Advent, this particular Advent in 2021, this can be your time to live into that call, to make a renewed commitment to working for peace, working for justice, and working for righteousness. So we all know that the holidays, as imperfect as we are, they can be a time of family conflict. Of having to sit down with that one person, that one family member who you don't exactly see eye to eye with. But we know Christ calls us to love all people. Christ calls us to acknowledge that we are all God's children. God calls us to seek true peace. So what if we took this time of Advent to make that renewed commitment of loving other people? Of praying for those we don't see eye to eye with, of praying for our enemies. What if we did that? We also know that the temptation is strong this time of year to buy and to gather all sorts of stuff for our family and friends. But Christ calls us to justice and to righteousness. To be the miracle in someone else's life to reflect God's love. So as Andy mentioned at the beginning of the service, over the next few weeks, we're going to have multiple opportunities for you to give, for you to be that miracle of Christ to someone else right here at our church. You can support our donation drive for Peace River. You can adopt a child through Called to Serve Farm Workers. Even today, you can go and visit and give gifts that make a difference at the alternative gift market for Zoe and Powers. So whatever you do, and however God is calling you to grow, we know that we can't expect the miracle of Christmas season. It can't come in the gifts that we give or the things that we get. But we can expect a miracle in the good news of Jesus Christ. And in this wonderful invitation to a simpler and more meaningful way of life, following Him. Will you close with me in prayer? Gracious God, as we prepare our hearts and our minds for this time of Advent, we thank you for the good news of the birth of the Christ child. We give thanks for the hope we can have in you. And we ask that you would make us instruments of your peace. May we take time this season to focus less on ourselves and more on spreading your love to the world. Amen. So as you go from this place, may you go to expect the miracle of Christmas in none other than Jesus Christ. And may you go to be the miracle of Christmas to someone else. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.